Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Mike David, and joining me today, please welcome my guest, Gloria Jean Banish. Gloria, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear. Now, like always, why don't you start with just putting out your contact info or the best way for my audience to reach out to you for after the show.
Okay, we are located in Appleton, Wisconsin. So if you're anywhere in the area, you can come see me here. And we are also have two different websites. One is devoted to my work with couples, and that website is couplesworkshopwi.com. And GJB Health Services is our other website, and that's GJBHealthServices.com. Our phone number is 920-560-4525.
Awesome. And how's the weather out there in Appleton?
Well, today it is nice. I think it's going to be 72. Yesterday, we were all freezing our collective asses off.
So. Yeah, New York is pretty cloudy right now, but it should be clearing out later on, so that's good. Now, of course, you've been a returning guest of ours, but we do get new listeners. Now, why don't you kind of go and quickly just go out and say just a little bit about yourself and what it is you do exactly.
Okay, so primarily what I personally do is I work with couples and all kinds of couples, married couples, dating couples, engaged couples, sometimes divorced couples who are trying to make co-parenting go smoother. I am a certified Gottman therapist, and what that means is that I have been trained to use the methods that John and Julie Gottman developed through John's research of the last 40 years. And his research was developed by watching actual couples and following some of them for up to 20 years. So he was able to see what kinds of things couples who are happy with one another, who would classify their relationship as successful. He was able to see what those couples had in common, and he was able to see what kinds of things couples that were not successful or who ended up divorced or separated or who stayed together and were miserable. He was able to see what kinds of things those couples had in common. And then 20 years ago, they started the Gottman Institute in order to train therapists how to help the couples that they work with do the kinds of things that they saw the master couples do. And so everything, all the techniques that we use is based on what we really saw happening. All of the techniques that have been developed are things that weren't just created out of someone's mind or ideas. It's what they saw. So the kind of research they did was very unique for the field of psychology. And it was very multidimensional. So first they had to get permission to study couples. And it was Dr. John Gottman and his research partner, Robert Levinson. And no one wanted to give them any research grants to do that because there are thought was, you know, we can't even predict what one person will do. If two people are there, we've got no hope of being able to achieve any kind of success predicting what's going to happen or find out anything useful. And anyway, even if it does work, we won't know who to credit for publication purposes. But they continued to be very persuasive, and so finally they gave them a limited amount of money, and they started the research. And when they started, one of the reasons that they were so interested in this field is that John's very candid about saying that both of them were really striking out in the relationship department. They could not make anything happen to save their lives. And so they thought, well, you know, we're not able to have relationships. Maybe we should study them instead. And so that's what kind of initially drew them to it. So they had no idea what kinds of things made relationships successful. When they started doing research in 1972, there had only been 6 studies done on what made relationships succeed. And those studies were all self-report questionnaires that were very poor predictors of behavior. So essentially, they were useless. There have been lots of studies done on what causes divorce, but we didn't know what to do. So they had no idea. So what they started doing was they invited all these different couples. They, like, ran an ad in the paper, and they invited people to come in and talk with them. And they started out by interviewing the couple together. They would ask them, so how did you meet each other? Tell us about what made you decide to commit to this person. What was your wedding like? What was the first year like? Do you have children? What was that transition like? And so ask them a bunch of relationship questions. Then they interviewed each of them separately and asked them questions about their parents' relationship, their family of origin stuff, what their beliefs were about marriage, about what home means, about spirituality, all of those kinds of things. And then they said, okay, we're going to rig you up to all of this different equipment. So they put a halter monitor on them so they could monitor their heart rate. They put a little device on their fingers so that they could tell if their hands started sweating. They put this thing underneath the chair that they were sitting in. They called it a gigolometer, so it tracked how much movement was in the chair. And then every time they went to the bathroom, they would take a urine sample to see if there were stress hormones in their urine, and they would take a blood sample to see if there were stress hormones in the bloodstream. And they would ask them to have 2 conversations. They would say, we would like for you to have a conversation that pretend that you guys have been away from each other and you're just talking about the events of the day. And after they did that for 10 minutes, they said, okay, now we would like for you to talk about a problem that you have. And they would just observe them for 10 minutes. And then after they had that discussion, and this was all on videotape, and computers were as big as the room, this was 1972, they would bring them out, and they would set them in front of the computer screen, and they would say, okay, here's a little dial, and one way that you turn it is 100% positive, and the other way is 100% negative. So as you're watching the video, we just want you to turn the knob when you feel either positive or negative. And so that was the data they were collecting. So they did all different kinds of research. So at one point they asked for people that had been married 6 years or less. And one group of couples, they had them check into the Love Lab, which was like a bed and breakfast laboratory that they built on the campus of Washington University. And couples would come and check in for 24 hours, and they would had three cameras on them all the time. And then they would have teams of coders sitting in front of the recording, and they were writing down what they saw happen with the couple. So this is the kind of research that they did for 20 years. By the time they got to about year 15, they began to see quite some startling trends. And John discovered that after hearing a couple have a conflict discussion for 5 minutes and asking them a few questions, he could predict with 91% accuracy whether that couple was going to stay together and if they were going to stay together and be happy or they were going to stay together and be miserable. And so once he announced that and he started doing the talk show circuits saying he could do this, he said that all of his invitations to dinner parties dramatically dropped because nobody wanted to know what he thought about their relationship. So this is the field of data, and research is still going on now. You know, they've reopened the Love Lab in Seattle, and they're still doing it, just with better equipment. And they're looking at different populations, and they're studying different aspects. So everything that we do in Gottman therapy is based on what they saw, what they found. So it's what we know works.
That is very fascinating. Was it actually called a gigolometer?
A gigolometer, yep. That was the technical name for it.
I just really like that word. I just never heard it before. So definitely going to be using that going forward.
Exactly.
Why do you think it is, that relationships is such a complicated subject, and why do you think it is so many people just don't know what they're doing when it comes to relationships?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that we get lots of useless information in school. You know, we get, if train A leaves the station at this time and train B leaves the station at this time, you know, when are they going to meet up? We learn lots of information that we're never going to use again. But we are not taught how to communicate. And communication is the most complicated thing that we can possibly do because it involves so many different variables. You know, it's the way you say it. It's what you say, what you don't say. It's body language, and then it's how your partner receives it. And it's what they heard you say, which is not necessarily what you said, but it's what they heard, and that's what they're reacting to. And how that impacts them is based on the sum total of all of their experiences up to that date, all of their history, what they've heard, what they've seen, what they've experienced, and you know, it just gets exponentially complicated. And then, you know, we're at our most vulnerable and our most raw with our partners. You know, that's where we let it all hang out. You know, that honeymoon phase doesn't last. And pretty soon, you know, where manners go out the window, and we're speaking to each other like we would never talk to our friends. So it gets very, very complicated, and no one can hurt us like our parents can and our partners can and like our children can. Right? So, I mean, no one can make us more angry than our parents. When I was 36 and I'd been sober since I was 27 and I was a therapist by trade and I was pretty well functioning in almost every area of my life, But I could walk in my mother's house, and within 10 minutes, I would be screaming at her like I was 12 years old. It's like, I don't even know how she does that, right? And we do the same thing with our partners, because they know the things that get to us. And so if there's resentment that's not getting talked about, and, you know, if there's pain that's not getting voiced, if there's needs that we're not talking about, if there's emotion we're not expressing, that's going to come out sideways, you know, and we're going to get sarcastic, we're going to be manipulative, we're going to shut down, we're going to be wounded, we're going to be hurt, we're going to want to retaliate. I mean, and that's even on a good day. You know, never mind when we start really causing one another grievous harm. And it's almost, first of all, it's impossible to live with someone day in and day out and not want to kill them. Okay, that's just a given. That's going to happen, you know. But you're also going to do really bad stuff to each other if you stay together long enough, you know, and some people do grievous harm to each other right in the beginning. And if you don't know how to repair that, if you don't know how to fix the relationship, then it's going to be very difficult to get that relationship vehicle back on the road and moving the direction that you both want to go in.
Yeah, a lot of good points there. But what we're going to do now, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, more on repairing relationships. We'll be right back.
Every business needs professionals they can trust. Let it be your lawyer, accountant, electrician. Even the company plumber are all people you can trust. So why are you settling for your printer vendor? They never respond to your questions, and when they do, it's always late. Always seems to take an eternity to get your printing done and ready, but you've dealt with it because there really wasn't another alternative. That is, until now, Max Image Printers. Take the worry out of your printing needs. As a hybrid company, both on website and phone, they welcome clients, businesses of all sizes, to call and ask questions to make as many orders as you need, with the confidence of having your work printed, beautiful, and ready in just a few business days. Bring the trust back into your printing. Maximize your printing experience with Maxim Image Printing. Call now at 801-977-8330. Email Keith at maximage.net. Visit the website, maximage.net. Max Image Printing, quality service, guaranteed. If you're not happy, you don't pay.
Aloha to all you lovebirds out there. Are you thinking about a destination wedding? Let I Do Hawaiian Weddings help you realize that dream. We specialize in Hawaiian destination weddings. Our unique knowledge of the islands and vast experience with amazing locations will help us create the destination wedding of your dreams. We can help you celebrate your love for each other with a sandy beach wedding, flower lay and bouquet, photography and videography, limousine transportation, hula dancing, ukulele music, and a beautiful dove release. We can even assist you with marriage license and online paperwork. I Do Hawaiian Weddings is all about love. So visit us on the web at idohawaiianweddings.com or call us at 808-330-5555 to realize your dream destination wedding in Hawaii now.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And welcome back once again. I am your host, Mike David. Joining me, of course, Gloria Jean Banish. We left off talking about how to kind of repair some relationships. I think everyone's experienced most people have experienced at some point in time where they've had a relationship or in a relationship that has a lot of conflict and a lot of issues that are happening. Now, Gloria, what are some of the steps that people can take in towards of repairing a relationship?
Okay, so think of it this way. So if your relationship is a car that's going down the highway, if one tire runs off the side of the road and kind of goes onto the shoulder, if you notice that right away, it doesn't take much to get the car back on the road. It's just a small correction, and you're back on, no damage done. If you don't notice that one tire is off and two tires run off, it may be a little bit more difficult to correct. You could flip, you could skid out, and so, you know, you have to be more careful making that correction and getting the car back on the road. If you're not paying attention and the car goes into a ditch, well, maybe you can drive it out of the ditch. Sometimes you can. If you do manage to drive it out of the ditch, sometimes there's some damage done to the undercarriage. Sometimes, like when my aunt went to sleep driving in a ditch on the way home, my uncle said, why is there a tree under your car? So sometimes there's some leftover stuff that you bring with you. And if you don't notice that you're in the ditch and at least stop the vehicle, you may go through the ditch and over a cliff. And if that happens, that is really going to require some repair work. And maybe the vehicle that you went over the cliff in is totaled. You may have to get another vehicle. And that's the way it works with relationships. What John and Bob found out in their research was that in the successful master couple, what they saw was that very low-level frustration and irritation and agitation became diffused. And it was usually diffused by the man. Because when men are in stressful relationships, their heart rate on the average is 18 beats per minute faster than men who are not in stressful relationships. Being in a stressful relationship doesn't cause the woman's heart rate to go up, but the woman's heart rate goes up when the man's goes up. And so, usually, it's the man that feels the effects first. His heart rate starts to go up, and he knows, uh-oh, I better calm things down. One, and, you know, they when only one tire's off the road, it's pretty easy. Like one of the couples, you're watching them, and you can see, because they're wearing monitors, right? So you can see the woman's heart rate starting to go up. And the man says, wow, those are nice shoes you're wearing. And you're thinking, what is going on here? This is a master couple. She's really upset right now. And he's not even listening to her. And she's like, thanks. He goes, so, you know, are you going to wear those when we go to the party this weekend? Yeah, I thought I would. Oh, do you have a dress to wear with them, or what are you going to wear? Yeah, I thought I'd wear this. Okay, and then you see her heart rate start to go down. And then he says, okay, now what were you saying before? And then she's able to continue, a lot more calm, right? So it can be a very gentle thing. If you don't notice that one tire has gone off the road, then as soon as you notice that either of you are starting to get pretty worked up and you feel your own heart rate going up, that's the time to say, okay, you know, I think that we need to take a little break. I really need a break. And let's kind of separate for 30 minutes and then let's come back and we'll keep talking about this. And so having a break ritual and finding something to say that both people can say and both people can hear and having the agreement that you stop on a dime, not another word, not let me just finish this sentence, not, well, I just want you to hear this, but when one of them says, I need to take a break, okay, great, and you stop and you separate. So helping people to be able to know when to do that and to help their partner know when to do that is very important, because we tend not to respect that, you know, in the same way that we say, I've only had a couple of glasses of wine or a couple of martinis, I can drive. Yeah, maybe you can, but you really shouldn't be, right? And maybe you can keep talking too, but you really shouldn't be, because once your heart rate goes above 100 beats per minute, you're flooded. Your frontal lobe shut down. Creative problem solving goes out the window. You get tunnel vision and tunnel hearing. You can't hear what your partner's saying. You can't empathize. All you can do is run, fight, or freeze. And knowing when that's happening is a learning process for us. Some people are more grounded in their body than others. You know, if you're very into fitness, if you work out a lot, you're pretty tuned in. And so realizing, okay, what's the first thing that happens to me when that starts happening? You know, is it my jaw feels tight? Is it that I find it hard to get a deep breath? Do I feel like I'm choking? Do I feel nauseated? Do my shoulders end up inside my ears? You know, what is it that happens to me? So that when you feel that, that's a mental clue that, okay, I thought I was doing okay with this, but not so much. We need a break. And knowing what your partner's face looks like when they start to get flooded, so you know them, and you may know they're flooded before they do. The problem is when somebody's flooded, what it looks like is that the person is choosing not to listen to you. When men are flooded, they usually cross their arms and look down and to the left. When women are flooded, we either play with their hair, pick at our nails, or we kind of stare straight ahead, and it's a slow blink, all right? And so your first reaction is, you're not even listening to me. You need to listen to me. This is important. But it's not that they don't want to listen to you. It's that they can't listen to you. So it's like, do you want them to hear you? Yes. Well, then shut up, because they can't hear you now. You know, so it's in everyone's best interest to pick up on when that happens. You know, so figure out what it is that you feel and then be able to take that break.
It seems like a lot of the times just being aware or having some sort of awareness kind of prevents a lot of different things from going down the wrong road. Would you agree with that? And now, when it comes to taking breaks, in your experience, do you see that a lot of times taking a break is beneficial towards relationships? Because I know a lot of people are afraid to do that, especially mm-hmm. when they kind of jump to conclusions, say that this person needs a break because they're using it as an excuse to see other people. A lot of people will have other stipulations, but do you find that taking breaks is beneficial?
Absolutely. You have to do that. And, you know, it's a very specific break, though. It needs to be at least 20 to 30 minutes, because once those stress hormones are released into your system, it takes 20 minutes to get them out of your system, minimally, okay? So it's not going to take you that long to get your heart rate back down below 100 beats per minute, but it's going to take some time. And it needs to be a break where you get your mind off of the argument. So if you spend the 20 or 30 minutes thinking, well, I can't even believe they said that, but I just don't have to put up with that, and when they say this, I'm going to say this, and I can't, you know, if you keep rehearsing it, you're going to stay upset. So you have to get your mind off of it completely. So reading a magazine works just as well as anything else. In fact, in some of the research that Julie Gottman did, she would be having a discussion with a couple. Somebody else would be in the other room monitoring their heartbeats. When they got flooded, they would knock on the door and say, I'm sorry, we have to take a break because there's something wrong with the equipment. We need to recalibrate some stuff. And they would tell them, we'd like for you to go out to the lobby, read a magazine, don't talk to each other, we'll come get you when we're done. They would wait exactly 20 minutes. They would go out and get them. They would bring them back in, and Julie would say, okay, where were we? And her comment was, it was as if they had had brain transplant.
Very interesting there. And once more, what is the best way for my audience to reach out to you for more information?
Okay, they can go to our website at couplesworkshopswi.com. If you want to learn more about the Gottman methods, there's information about that on my website. You can also go to the GottmanInstitute.com, and they have a wonderful website. They have a therapist finder if you want to find a certified Gottman therapist near you. You can put in your city or your zip code and find out where the closest Gottman therapist is for you.
Sounds good. Well, Gloria, I just want to say thanks once again for just sharing such great information and advice, and really just taking the time out of your day to speak with us.
Thank you. It's been wonderful as always.
Yeah, no problem. And for everyone else out there listening, please stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.